If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back, everyone. It's Nick Jansoff here from Holistic Health Coach for Anxiety. Today we're going to talk about ancestral conditioning and how it might affect our anxieties. We'll be looking at early childhood development, focusing on the theta, beta, and the delta brainwaves from childhood development. And it'll be a lot. And here, I think it'll be a good share for young parents out there to really think about how to raise their children and what actually happens in the early stage of development and how anxiety can be actually created or manifested because of the early childhood development. So it's really important to know about this part here. And we also look into external developments, early developments, and how we get conditioned through stimuli. And also we'll touch into the topic called ancestral conditioning and anxiety, which is a spiritual woo-woo kind of thing. And if you believe it, it's the family consolidations and all the past wounds and unresolved traumas, almost like past lives, and you know it's something out there, and it's got to be intentional for us to believe that. So it's a good topic. So let's go on with it. So let's go on. Just go and talk about some things, and I'll pause and stop where I think there's some good valuable points. Okay, so. The topic is called ancestral conditioning, breaking the chains of the past. We have the past. There's always the conditioning of the past. First of all, this particular topic was inspired by one of my by attending one of our soulmates circles. There's a group tribe that we get together, and it's really good to get together with people that you know, that you resonate with. They're creating the same vibration, the same brainwaves, the calming effect, the peaceful effect with the same people. They always say you are the product of the 5 people that you hang with. So if you're there with someone who's firing up on anxiety, lend them an ear, but that's not where we want to stay too long, because we want to be in a high vibration. It's not being selfish, it's just self-care. Anyway, let's go to ancestral conditioning. This refers to a learned behavior or beliefs and value that are passed through down generations within a family or cultural group. And now these are ingrained patterns of thinking and behaving can significantly influence our lives and shaping our worldview and limiting our potential. However, it's possible to break free from this conditioning and create a new path for ourselves called Rewire the Brain. One day we'll go deep into how to rewire the brain. And maybe we can invite someone who's a teacher or a coach or also that talks about rewiring the brain and how do we do that. What are the tools and methods that we can use? Here in this episode, we're going to explore the concept of ancestral conditioning, discuss various ways to change it, and highlight the values and benefits of embracing personal growth. And through inspiring stories, we will demonstrate the transformative power of breaking free from the chains of the past. And then we can go and provide, on the journey, we can go and discover it on a person to get this personal liberation. So let's go into understanding ancestral conditioning. Let's go deeper. Ancestral conditioning is like a phenomena that occurs when beliefs, values, and behaviors are passed down from one generation to the other. Not just because we're viewing from a child point of view, conditioning from child point of view, but more from like lineage. More like even the past lives here. Again, we have to believe that we did have a past life, and some of us, we're actually into this. And on a spiritual community, a lot of people are into this. I do have an ancestral line that needs to be broken. It's like a curse, almost like a curse. With me, I know my grandfather. I'm very similar to my grandfather, but I'm looking. His way of living and his mindscapes and mental frames. Somehow there's kind of a gene that it's amazing how we get past this gene, and it kind of can skip. Not everyone gets it in their family, but it can skip a few people. But somewhere down there it lands. So it's interesting how that's been passed. And that conditioning has been passed down to my father and the influence of his mother. And it's interesting to get a bullseye view on that and where do I fit in. So my grandfather was an interesting guy. He kept himself very introvert, very empathic. So he, just kept to his, he was a farmer and he kept to his fields and animals and whatnot. And that was what he did. And he also liked to, take some time out and just spend lots of time in the barn and his way of meditating and whatnot. So that gave me peace and quiet. And I, it was more of an, avoidant, anxious avoidant. And I remember my grandfather. So I'm kind of trying to match up my ancestral conditioning. And it feels like there's this kind of, even though I didn't invest myself with my grandfather too much, and wasn't invested in me, we're miles apart, but through our parents, from my father, I can see the lineage and the conditioning right there and there. So maybe you can trace back to your family and who do you relate to? Who do you relate to? Maybe one of your grandfathers. But this is an also deeper level than this particular, we call it a spell or some sort of, or jinx or whatever it is you want to call it. It goes down, but it's time to kind of get into it and break these chains of thoughts or change the patterns that are inherited by us. It can be so beneficial, and also they can be very, very limited if we don't, depending on the relevance of our current circumstances also. So Some of these can actually serve us. Conditioning, past conditioning, sexual can actually serve us. Serve us because we get a chance to learn, to unpack what needs to be unpacked. So it's not a bad thing. There's no wrong right. It's just giving that definition that's right, wrong. So, and, you know, sitting with that is okay. Sometimes do we need to fix it, and can we actually live with it without blaming or shaming ourselves or in that space? And sometimes the traits that we have, or we condition these traits, are actually quite powerful. They're good. They're good for us. And sometimes we get things more done and more efficient. And we can have different types of traits that we inherited from ancestors. But we can go talk a little bit more on that. So understand these conditions is first step towards creating a positive change in our life. And when I'm talking from an anxiety point, maybe there was an anxious character playing in your past that you learned from, like your parents, grandparents, or caretakers. Very important to, when we're young, to that there was so much stimulus going between the ages 1 to 7, and then we took out, all of a sudden we become reasoning around 6 and 7. We started, you know, really cognitive reasoning, and we made up stories because you know, we would, even though we might have been neglected or abandoned, but we made up stories to compensate for that feeling. And you know, we start reasoning, we start becoming the adult mind around, you know, around the 6 and 7 mark, where we start analyzing and comprehending what's going on, or giving things reason. Yeah, so let's look at some ways to change ancestral conditioning. So we can look at some ways to change ancestral, or try to change ancestral conditioning. It would be like self-reflection is one key, and creating that awareness and developing that self-awareness is crucial in breaking free from those ancestral conditioning chains, you know, breaking those chains. And by examining our beliefs, our values, and our behaviors on a daily, and every time something goes on a daily behaviors, how we can identify these patterns that no longer serve us and consciously choose to let go of them. So unless we develop that awareness, and through self-reflection ability, you know, we're different to other creatures of our planet, and we have this ability to reason. Other creatures don't do that. They can't self-reflect, but we can, and that's what makes us on the top of the chain, food chain. And we can do that. We have the power to, you know, reason from reason and examine. Like we said, we've begun doing that when we become adults around 8, 7 in our early days. So, yeah. And then we can look at educating and exposing ourselves to diverse perspectives. And we can learn about different cultures, philosophies, and ways of life. And we can expand our worldview and challenge those limitations or imposed ancestral conditions on us. By exposing ourselves to new ideas, we can broaden our perspectives and open ourselves up to new possibilities. Let's look at healing through forgiveness. Like past traumas and unresolved issues, we can, you know, can be passed down through generations, influence, and not only down through generations, but even on a spiritual level. You know, your grandfathers, you might be carrying these particular chains, like it's part of a DNA. And there's a lot of study done on that, that these can be passed through genetic, genetic ways, and they call through epigenetics. It's a big study there, that we, our genes can be, you know, influenced by our past. So if you're carrying this particular gene that's not healthy for us, and it's self-sabotaging on a chemical level, we still got it, and we need to resolve and cut that chain, cut from that. It's also, this is about, you know, all this influencing of our behavior and mindsets, and by addressing and healing these wounds, we can break free from the cycle of ancestral conditioning and create this healthier, more fulfilling life for ourselves and the future generations. We can look at personal growth and practices, engaging personal growth like practices such as mindfulness, meditation, therapy, journaling, reflection. We can then, you know, sit still and become the observer, and then we can identify the changes deeply ingrained in us, in our patterns of our behavior. So sometimes we have to challenge that behavior. Why do they do that? Why do they think like that? Right? And these practices can provide us with tools to cultivate new beliefs and values. We are changeable. You just have to believe we are changeable, and it takes time. You'll feel yourself changing as you grow to a new spiritual level that aligns with our authentic selves. The whole aim is to find the authentic self. We can look at values and benefits of breaking free. When we look at authenticity, breaking free from ancestral conditioning will allow us to discover, or allow you to discover, embrace your authentic selves. When you let go of inherited beliefs and things that are not truly you, and these are just stories and inherited beliefs and values that do not resonate with you anymore, we can live a life that is true to who we are, and rather than who we are conditioned to be. We can look at freedom and empowerment. By breaking free from chains of the past, we liberate ourselves from limitation imposed by ancestral conditioning. This inbound freedom empowers us to make conscious choices and creates a life and alliance that's aligned with our passions, desires, and values. So the benefits are all there. So it's worth to study. And there's a lot of people offering courses, offering insight, and allows you to practice and participate and immerse yourself in the study of ancestral clearing. We can move on in resilience, embracing personal growth and breaking free from ancestral conditioning requires your courage and time and resilience and belief. And through this process, we can develop the strength to overcome challenges and really adapt a new situation that's going to come by. Change is good, but we need to be courageous. And there's many of my past podcasts that teaches us about change in itself and how challenging that can be, and how it also goes into the patterns. Then all this leading to personal growth and fulfillment. And then we have this connection in harmony. You know, by breaking free from limiting beliefs and behaviors, we can cultivate deeper connections with ourselves and others. We are true to ourselves. You find you have more energy. We attract like-minded people because we're not vibrational from the negative energy or negative frequency energy, but from a positive state. Then we can also help others come up on a chain level of positive energy, not too critical. And you know, it attracts like-minded individuals, which is a real bonus. And it helps us create this harmonious relationship based on authenticity and mutual respect. So I mentioned earlier how I love attending My Little Tribe. You got to find your tribe. Who is your tribe? Who are the people that you can resonate with? Who are the people that create the same energy in that field, in that brainwave, the learning? You know, we're talking about theta, beta, and delta waves. You want people who can get to that level of deeper cognition, deeper reasoning. And by being with people close like that, we can also help. It helps with our vagus nerve, because we do breath work in our circle, our life circles, we call them, or our soul circles, and just people, your little tribe. So hook on to that. Find your tribe and start breathing together. Be one. And find your harmony through that. I'd like to share a story. A story of someone that grew up in a family where success was defined solely by their financial health. However, they felt unfulfilled, and despite achieving financial success in their life, and after many, many years of self-reflections, they realized that their true passion lay in helping others, by serving others. This is where the true passion is. And they decided to break free from their family's conditioning, and they pursued a career in social work, even though they had a lot of opposition a lot of naysayers. You can't do that. Pull you back into the matrix of the family traditions. But they were not really happy in, you know, doing the family condition, the family business or family traits. And my father was a doctor, so I need to be a doctor. But that person did not want to be a doctor, and they're more living and pleasing their parents than living themselves. And so they become a doctor, but they hated every minute of it. They hated being waking up. There's no purpose. They feel dull. There was no fulfillment in their life, even though they're making money and the career was great in that, you know, chosen career. They're very clever. You know, they were pushed to, you know, they pushed themselves to gain all that academia and all that recognition and all their certificates and diplomas and whatnot, but they were not happy. So it doesn't matter whether, you know, but you got to align yourself with what makes you happy. And this particular person was more happy working and serving others in a special way, until they broke free from the family's condition and they pursued a career in social work they really loved doing, to serve their human fellow being and help them across the bridge. And and now today they live a very fulfilling life, and every day is just a beautiful day, and they wake up early in the morning without even alarms, and they're so positive, and they have so much positive impact, and they're on their highest level and highest version of themselves. Just to be read, you know, when you get next to them, you start feeling these people. You can feel their vibration. You can feel, ever notice that? When someone's tuned into the higher vibration, you can actually feel their vibration, feel them. You know, I've come across many people like that in different societies, in different groups. And you know that person's tuned in and aligned with their true purpose. And then even by being with them, you can feel the energy, you can feel the brain waves, you know, and the connection. It feels so smooth and nice to be around positive people. And then that kind of comes back to me, and then you say, well, I want some of that, and what do I do to get there? So, yeah. There's another person I want to talk about. His name is Carlos, and Carlos also grew up in his story. He grew up in a family where expressing emotions were discouraged. As a result, he struggled with emotional intimacy in his relationship. So he wanted an authentic relationship, but he couldn't get it until he understood that he had hang-ups. He was struggling with emotional intimacy. And determined to change, Carlos sought therapy and learned to embrace vulnerability. He couldn't deal with vulnerability. And through the journey, he not only formed deeper connections with his loved ones, but also discovered a newfound sense of self-acceptance and emotional well-being. Yeah, so I just want to say that if you feel like you need a bit of help in these areas, and you need a buddy or a life coach or an anxiety coach to help you get more deeper with this kind of learning. If you resonate with the idea of breaking free from sexual conditioning, embracing personal growth, and you know, I invite you to embark on this transformative journey and start cultivating the self awareness and exploring your perspectives. And you know, here we are. There's people you can go to. You can get in contact with me via my email at the end of this podcast. There will be a description box where introduction to this particular podcast, and underneath you'll find my email address, and encouraging you to reach out and make an appointment from my calendar. And yeah, let's get together see a brighter side of life, and find out the root causes of some of your anxiety, and how is it all connected to ancestral conditioning. It's your possibility now. It's possible for you to break free now from the chains of the past, or your limiting thoughts that creates hindrance, and now you can create a life that is authentic, fulfilling, and aligned with your real values. And just like the story of that how she I really wanted to become social worker rather than a lawyer or a doctor. And until she found her values and stopped the chains of conditioning, break the chain, she's now having a fulfilling life. So we can let's look at some, let's go deeper now. We can look at some ways to break free from essential conditioning. First of all, you need to have a willingness. You need to be conscious and aware of what's going on. And then challenge, get ready to challenge deeply the ingrained beliefs and behaviors. But you need to look at self-reflection again, education, exposure, healing and forgiveness. And once more, and also question the challenging beliefs is very important. And values that no longer serve you. Question their validity with you and consider alternative perspectives. And this will help you break free from automatic acceptances of inherited beliefs and allow you to create your own value system. So I just want to say that we are being conditioned here. This is important to understand. It'll help you break free from the automatic acceptance of inherited beliefs and allow you to create your own values in system. So that means when we're little, under the age of four, we took things on without questioning. We didn't know how to question. Remember, at age seven, we started developed the mind of an adult, or metal, it's called a mind adult, that where we can reason. And some of us never got a chance. We're also told what to do, controlled. We're so controlled that we did not have the automatic acceptance. We had this automatic acceptance, that everything we were told, right, we're told was true and fact, and it was valuable to us, and it was totally wrong. So unless we can, look at this a different way and flip it and get rid of this automatic acceptance, never accept anything from now on without questioning it, without challenging it, and things will change. Thought I'd just amplify on that one. And we have these personal growth practices, like I mentioned earlier, and seek support, find your mentor, find your tribe, find your life coach, find your anxiety coach. We can also look at what practices can help develop self-awareness and identify ingrained patterns. Mindfulness meditation, journaling is powerful. Self-reflection, again, can't emphasize that. And also look for feedback and self-observation. Seek feedback from trusted friends, family members, mentors, and provide honest insight about your behaviors. Sometimes don't be shy. Don't be shamed, or just say, look, I've got blind spots. I can't see them. These are part of my ancestral conditioning, what I've learned and what I've accepted, what I've not questioned, and I need you to help me find them. So if you feel something that I'm not seeing, please advise me. And this is a beautiful practice to be asking someone else to pay. And then you get some insights from someone else about your behaviors and patterns, because sometimes we're so automatic, we don't even see these patterns. So sometimes you say, I'm anxious, and then someone says, well, you're anxious, and possibly this is why you're anxious. They can pull you up on these blind spots. Additionally, you can also practice self-observation of yourself by paying attention to your thoughts. This is journaling comes in, your emotions and behaviors in different situations. Notice, this is important, you just notice any reoccurring patterns or automatic responses. Like, you've done that, you know when you've done the same thing at the same time, and you haven't changed that, it keeps happening all the time. We can look at body awareness practices, engage in body awareness practices such as yoga, tai chi, to connect with our body, its sensation. The body also holds clues to our emotions and patterns. And by turning into your body, we can gain a deeper understanding of our inner experiences. Sometimes we get tense for no reason, especially if we're holding on to anxiety. And sometimes we don't even know, you know, what triggers us, what excites us, what puts intention in our bodies. And we keep doing that, and we keep striking. And it's a hidden thing. Sometimes even a simple smell of a rose can trigger you, right? Maybe you've had like a wonderful relationships, and that, and then you were so much in love, and you're so dependent on that particular person, and one day you go to their place, a mother is growing this wonderful roses, and then at the same day it's a wonderful sunny day. And then she tells you that we're not working out. We have to move on. And your heart's broken. And your whole life is shattered. But one thing you hold in your senses, ingrounding your senses, conditioning of your environment, and is the smell of the rose on that day. So every time now, in sometimes that, you know, like even 10 years later, you've found, you know, you're with another, you're happily engaged with your other partner and married and whatnot. But as you come up to the florist, you look at this particular, you actually don't even know you're looking at actually, at this rose. The aroma and the vision of that rose triggers the same environment that you were about 10 years ago when you actually fell hard on that relationship. So yeah, these are conditionings. They're not ancestral, but they're more current and they're more external, external conditioning. The body awareness. So you can get things stuck in our body and awareness. And so we get tense, and that's what I mean. We get tense, and we need to talk to that and unlock that. We can look at therapy or coaching. Consider working with a life coach, anxiety coach. Specialize in self-awareness. I can help there. You can provide guidance, tools, support, just like this podcast, and it helps you uncover this ingrained patterns and develop a greater sense of awareness. So what are some practices that can help develop self-awareness and identifying ingrained patterns? It's a good one to work with. So we can look at mindfulness and meditation, a beautiful way to learn to be the observer and not judgmental. Therefore, you can have more attention and time to solve the underlying issues or the root causes, even past traumas. Really paying attention to your thoughts, your emotions, your sensations, without judging, and being the observer like a third person from a helicopter view. And then observing your internal experiences, you can then gain this insight into patterns and automatic reasonings and reactions. Reflections. Take time to reflect. As mentioned earlier, journaling is powerful. Write a journal to explore your thoughts, feelings, and experiences. This can include, can actually provide a space for self-expression and help and identify reoccurring themes or patterns. And isn't it time to break that? Once you identify, it's time to say, no, that's not me. Interesting how you can catch yourself, even though you're blind to it. And once you catch yourself to these patterns, then that's the only time you find relief. Reflect on your journals, entries, make it a habit, because most of us don't do that. We're so busy. Make it as part of your habit tracker to revise that, to remind yourself on your habit tracker. By the way, we did habit tracking way back. If you want to know what a habit tracker is, you can go back a few, about 10 podcasts, and there's an episode on the power of habit tracking, and we can use that. Seeking all sorts of feedback, like we said, from trusted friends, and also emotional awareness, and practicing identifying and understanding your emotions, and pay particular attention to how you feel in a different situation, how these emotions influence your thoughts and actions, and then realize that, why am I so involved in this? It's got nothing to do with me. Someone's just triggering. But because what anger does, it tries to engage your shamefulness and it fights with you. It creates shamefulness and fear and all sorts of things and blame, but it's not you. It's just their trigger, but they need somewhere to aim that trigger at, which kind of changes our behaviors. And you can see these patterns that nothing to do with you. We're okay with that. We've forgiven ourselves. We've healed from that. And then also self-observation again. See yourself in different situations without judgment. Notice how you react and what thoughts arise and how your body feels. And, you know, get this, learn to see them sensations, don't dismiss the sensations, but kind of observe them and be part of them and then push them away. Can help you become aware of your automatic patterns and provide this wonderful opportunity for your conscious choices rather than just accepting the inherent choices once again. I'll emphasize that word again. So therapy, coaching, you can do that. But, you know, let's move on to what are some ways in... Okay, so then we move on to a deeper level, saying what are some ways in which a curse or a spiritual ancestor conditioning is believed to manifest in individual families. This is really important for those who are holistic, okay, holistic and spiritual. And there's also different to being religious. And in religious folks, they would say the spell or the evil spirit that inherits our bodies and that inherits us. Like there's a lot of Bible stories on the spiritual interventions, the inheritance of our psyche. But we put sense into a different way. If you're holistic or spiritual, there's a different meaning, and shamanic practices and all that. And so everyone's got a different perspective on it. Not judging anyone. And end of the line, we're all heading the same way, helping each other cross the bridge, across this life, and getting to the top of the mountain and finding and refining yourself to be the highest, our highest self. So let's go on to the curse or spiritual ancestral conditioning. Now, this is a belief that manifests in various ways in us and in our families, and depending on our cultural beliefs and traditions, we are many, you know, we're different cultures, hundreds of different cultures. And so here are some common manifestations that often can be associated with belief. And let's look at health issues. It is believed that a curse or a spiritual ancestor conditioning can manifest as a chronic illness, unexplained physical symptoms, or reoccurring health problems. And even these anxious thoughts, anxiety can be part of this, could be a curse. Now, these health issues are seen as a result of negative ancestral influences that have been passed down through generations, inherited. Our relationships, difficulties, sometimes curse or spiritual ancestors' conditions is believed to impact relationships with families and between individuals. It can manifest as a conflicts and misunderstandings or patterns of dysfunctions in relationships. These difficulties are seen as a reflection of unresolved ancestral issues that affect the dynamics between family members. There you go. I think also we're all born differently. We're meant to have some conflict, right? I believe that we're meant to have some conflict. And yeah, let's go deeper level, that we are influenced by our past ancestors, our great-great-grandfathers, or type of spirit inherited by different... We inherit spirits, and they tend to, you know, have a blind spot about them. We need to suss them out, you know, and find the chain and cut the chain. Simple as that. Sometimes we can have these financial challenges also. Some believe that the curse of the spiritual ancestor condition can manifest as financial struggles or lack of abundance. It is believed that negative ancestral influences can affect the financial well-being of the individuals and families and leading to a cycle of poverty or financial instability. So that's a big one. And it's, you know, I think once we can say, I'm okay, you know, the way things are, is also we can flip it. I'm okay to give ourselves some time to recognize that particular curse or spiritual ancestors conditioning. I'm okay with that, and I don't need to fight that. And then we can also sit back and analyze it. Where do they come from? And then we can probably see it. Just being okay with that. And emotional and psychological patterns, curses or spiritual ancestors conditioning is thought to influence the emotional and psychological well-being of the individual. And it can manifest as inherited patterns or trauma, anxiety, depression, and other emotional struggles that are believed to be passed down through generations. Yeah, that's true. We can look at things like the Holocaust, you know, during the German war, and how people do things to themselves, and we can look at that. These patterns are ingrained, and it's time now to cut back. I know a lot of people who have this particular generations of anxiety, and it's like a DNA, okay, epigenetics, and I know they've got this gene, they've got this particular trait about them inherited through their generations, through their grandfathers and grandmothers and whatnot, and they're simply stuck with this, and most of them cannot break that particular chain. And they're always so much full anxiety, and sad to say, but there's a lot of illnesses that occurred from epigenetics, and unless we break those chains. So just a big awareness there, what I see with trauma, anxiety, depression in certain cultures and societies through that their past heritage, ancestral conditioning. We can look at patterns and behaviors, certain behaviors or tendencies such as addictions, destructive habits, self-sabotaging patterns are often attributed to curse of spiritual ancestors conditioning. These behaviors are seen as manifestations of negative ancestral influences that have been inherited. Feeling stuck or blocked. Individuals who feel like the type of curse is to be feel stuck and or blocked. In the spiritual ancestors conditioning, may feel a sense of being stuck or blocked in their lives. They might feel unable to break free from their certain patterns or achieve their goals, attributing to the influences of ancestral conditioning. However, look, all these are based on cultural beliefs, and if you believe something hard enough, a lot enough, it becomes us. It becomes part of our conditioning. It might not be universally accepted or recognized, so everyone to their own. We're so old, well designed, we're so intricate, we're so unique in our own ways of thinking. So it might not be accepted, recognized, this particular type of woo-woo, so it depends how we interpret it, understand this kind of curse of spiritual ancestral conditioning. So basically, you could travel, ancestors can travel through time, space, and influence our thoughts. And basically just take our thoughts, condition us and make us behave certain ways. So it's deep. It's a deep realization. Why not? It's all possible, right? And we're on computers now. Who's to say that we can do a podcast in today's age and video and send out these messages about all this wonderful stuff? So I'm always open-minded. I like to live with an open-minded, and I'm always an explorer, a researcher, looking for different ways to cut chains. Moving on, and I think I've got a little bit more to go. So this one says, how does the curse of the spiritual ancestors conditioning impact relationship with families and between individuals? Here's a few ways. We can look at communication breakdowns, contribute to communication difficulties between families, result in misunderstandings. There's conflicts there. There's these patterns of dysfunctionality. Curse of spiritual ancestor conditioning is often can be associated with patterns of dysfunctionality in families. That creates that. Trust and intimacy issues can evolve. That can happen. Integration and conflicts can contribute to integrated conflicts within the families. And I like this one, like people don't want to be with certain people of their family. It can cause unresolved issues or traumas and holding on to stuff, and it can resurface at different generations and leading to misunderstanding. There's so much tension between family members and all this stuff. So between siblings, parents, and it just goes on. We're all unique. Emotional and psychological impact, it can have that. Can affect us that way. Inherent beliefs and so on. I just want to touch down also a little bit now on early childhood development, just very briefly. If you want to move into that, there's a good description on how to do the work from Nicola Perra from the book, which I'm studying at the moment, and I get a lot of resources from that book, and very, very informative and a lot of awareness. So our early childhood development is between the age of ones and even before that, 1 to 7. And in the sequence of time between 1 to 7, there is certain brainwave energy that the kid is so alert and unconscious level. There's the theta, the beta, the delta brainwaves. Again, it's early development and our conditioning takes place there. So we're like a sponge of information. And, apart from ancestral influences, but this is more like the early development of a child. So as a parent, I think everyone that hears this podcast should look into the early developments of brainwaves of a child. And how important is whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever emotion you project, they feel it, they learn from it. And they're like a sponge, and they're like eyes are wide open, and they see 20 times, 30 times more and hear more than you do at this stage, because we don't have that alertness like an early child, because they're like a sponge and they're just learning. And so what I'm saying here is just be careful of the way you talk to your kids and how you feel emotionally. Very important. Otherwise they will become, and if you're holding trauma and you're around your child, it's time to get rid of it, because you're going to pass that on, because you're an ancestor. And that's been passed down from your ancestors. A little bit more, that's another big topic, early child development and anxiety. Another big topic, but I just thought, it's a good one for anyone that's listening to this podcast to go in there. I think it's been a wonderful journey on this particular podcast. There's people out there, again, coaches that can help help you go deeper into ancestral conditioning. Into early child brainwave, delta, theta, delta, and beta brainwaves, and development of the childhood, and what is the external development. Anyway, if you feel like this is resonate with you, and once again, if you feel like you would like to know more about it, I can assist you by giving one-on-one consultation. Maybe we can get deeper on this, and it's nice to know you a bit better, and nice to know yourself a little bit better. And again, your whole purpose is to help you get over the bridge and let you see your higher version of yourself. So this is Nick Jansen, holistic health and coach for anxiety. So I'm happy to help, and I'll leave my links and contacts at the end of the description. And you can find me on From Anxiety to Tranquility Facebook groups, or Holistic Health Anxiety Coaching on Facebook, business page. By all means, wishing you the best, and it's so much to find out. And it's bye from me, namaste, and blessings for this day.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.